Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, everybody. I want to talk to you for a second here about Canva, specifically Canva presentations that are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva presentations can generate any deck you want for work. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it. Any department can save time on any presentation. So start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Just go to Canva, C-A-N-V-A.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me is Chuck Bryant.
I'm doing sign language at you, Josh.
Are you doing finger fumblers?
No, but since you brought it up, we have a finger fumbler. Good blood, bad blood. Not to jump the gun. That has nothing to do with this podcast.
Can you sign that out for me?
No.
Okay. Well, to anyone who knows sign language, give good blood, bad blood a shot. Oh, and that also reminds me, Chuck, one of our listeners sent in mind melt exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Make a clockwise circle on the floor with your right foot
mm-hmm.
while writing the number 6 on a pad of paper.
I tried it.
It is really tough.
It made me crazy.
Things like that really get to Chuck.
Right.
So, Chuck, that's a good thing that we had this little bit of banter, because I had, like, no introduction whatsoever for this one.
How convenient.
How about this? Have you ever been to Niagara Falls?
I have not.
Nor have I. So,
really?
Yeah. No, I haven't. And I even lived, you know, in the north.
Sure.
Well, not the north, the Midwest, but the northern Midwest.
Well, it's not too far from Ohio.
No, it's not that far, especially Toledo. You know? So, but yeah, never made it up there. And actually, the only time I've ever really seen Niagara Falls was on, what, Superman 2?
Right.
Where Clark Kent and Lois Lane honeymooned,
mm-hmm.
if I remember correctly.
That's the only time you've seen Niagara Falls?
Yeah, that's the most I've seen of it, I should say. Yeah, it's not the only time.
Gotcha.
I don't live in a cave, Chuck.
Right.
So I do know a few things about Niagara Falls.
Let's hear it.
You want me to lay it on you?
Lay it.
I will tell you this, Chuck. Every year, Niagara Falls attracts about 12 million visitors.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a huge tourist attraction,
big
as
time.
You know. And from from research, I've also found that if you stand there long enough, somebody's going to go in.
What do you mean?
They're going to go in the Niagara River, and they're going to go over the falls.
If you stand there long enough.
Long enough. Now, we may be talking like months, years,
sure.
Who knows? But they do pull about 20 bodies out of the bottom of the falls every year.
Yeah, sadly, it's a suicide destination for some folks.
Yeah, and that was just suicides, right?
Right.
Yeah. But there are a subgroup of humans running around over the last 100 or so years
mm-hmm.
who actually go over the falls on purpose.
Right, daredevils.
That old cliche, going over Niagara Falls in a barrel.
Right.
There's actually a lot of people who have done that.
And it's usually a barrel.
Yeah, yeah, especially the old-timey people. They went over in barrels. All of them modified.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as we progressed further into the 20th century, the barrels became, you know, a little better, a little stronger. But yeah, pretty much all barrels or balls.
Right.
Spheres,
right.
I guess 16, is one way to do it.
If I'm not mistaken, 16 people have done so.
From 1901 to 2003.
Right.
And as far as I could find, the guy who did it in 2003 was the last one. I couldn't find anybody who's tried it more recently.
Right. His is the most amazing, but we should probably save that. Just
yeah,
so
let's,
people
let's
don't
dial
turn
it back
off
a little bit. Yeah, we want to pay it out slowly. So, Chuck, let's talk about the falls a little bit. How's your geography?
Terrible.
You want me to handle it?
Well, no. I mean, I can give you a few facts here and there, but geography as a whole is not my strong suit.
All right, well, give us a few facts here or there.
Geographically speaking, if mm-hmm. you've never been to Niagara Falls, you might think that it's one set of falls, and if you've seen sure. the famous photos, but it's actually three sets of falls,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure you know. Horseshoe Falls.
Yeah, that's the Canadian one, right?
Yes, the American Falls.
That's the American one.
And the lesser known and smaller Bridal Veil Falls.
Right.
And I know you have some good numbers on these.
Well, I can tell you that this three-fall setup that we see in Niagara Falls today, or people unlike me who go to Niagara Falls see today, it's actually only about 500 years old. The falls actually erode these days because they've hit some serious bedrock. They erode backward about 4 to 5 feet a year.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It is a lot, but they've eroded much, much more quickly than that over time. And also, I should say that the entirety of Niagara Falls is only about 15,000 years old. It was the result of the last ice age or the end of the last ice age. So it's eroding backward five feet a year, and eventually it hit a point and the river went down enough, the water flow went lowered enough that it hit this island, which split it into two.
That'd be the Niagara River, correct?
The Niagara River was split into two, and actually there's a second smaller island, Luna Island, that split it into three and created Bridal Veil Falls.
Right.
But this island called Goat Island is actually named after a herd of hapless goats that froze to death on the island in 1780. They belonged to a goat herder named John Stedman, that's why Goat Island is called Goat Island.
They weren't fainting goats, were they?
No, they were freezing goats.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a little bit about Niagara Falls. Oh, I should probably give some stats here, because I know everybody loves stats. Do you have any stats?
I'm usually stat man, but the...
Can I take your role today?
Please do.
Okay, so Horseshoe Falls is by far the biggest one.
Oh, yeah.
It's a 167-foot drop. Then it hits the Maid of the Mist Pool and actually goes down about another 180 feet. So if you plunged right down to the Maid of the Mist Pool, what is that? That's like almost 400 feet, right?
It's quite a bit.
That's a significant drop. There's a 2,600-foot brink, and the water goes over that brink at about 600,000 gallons per second.
Right.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah, so, you know, if you went over the falls and survived, you've still got this water beating down on you at that kind of rate.
Right.
Which you could easily die.
And even though Horseshoe Falls is much bigger and the water volume is much greater, that's the one that people go over when they go over Niagara Falls. Because American Falls, it puts water out about 150,000 gallons a second. But the 176-foot drop to the bottom, about 106 feet of that is rock.
Right.
So you drop 70 feet right on this huge tumble of rocks.
Yeah.
It's not a good idea to go over that one.
No. It's nice to look at.
It is very pretty, especially with Bridal Veil Falls just falling in the background.
Superman flying around.
Yeah, saving people. So, okay, there are people who go over the falls, Chuck, and do you know much about daredevils? I think is a pretty fair description of these people.
Well, I wrote an article on daredevils.
Was that your article?
It was.
That was a great article. I actually went back and referenced that.
Thanks.
And I saw that there's a picture of the first person to go over the falls in your article.
Right, who was a woman.
Yeah.
Anne Edison Taylor.
Yep.
But backtracking again, we're saving our anecdotes of the people who went over.
So. Yeah, we're talking about daredevils, right?
Right.
What about that one study?
Which one?
The one with the testosterone?
Oh, right. Yeah, daredevils have a higher level of testosterone, but a lower level of satisfaction.
So I looked it up, serotonin.
Right.
And it's serotonin, one of the things it does, it's a neurotransmitter, and it acts to curb impulsiveness.
Well,
so apparently high levels of testosterone and low levels of, you know, a neurotransmitter that curbs impulsiveness equals daredevil.
Right.
So that's one explanation. Another explanation is found actually in some poor lab mice who had the Stathmin gene bred out of them.
The infamous Stathmin gene.
Yeah, it's about to be infamous.
Right.
This gene produces a protein, right, that allows nerve cells to communicate with one another in the amygdala.
Mm-hmm.
And the amygdala is known to allow us to form fear memories from fear.
Oh, right.
Aversion.
Sure.
Like put your hand on a hot oven.
Right.
Your amygdala is going to be like, oh, we can't do that again. So
I think hot stove is what they generally say, but a hot oven's bad too.
Quiet you. Okay, hot oven, hot stove.
Sure.
I know what you mean. So these mice they were actually called in this article rather sensationally, daredevil mice. They showed no signs
fear.
Of traditional mice fear. They explored open spaces. They really didn't have much of an aversion to receiving electric shocks. Basically, these mice are leading a pretty hard life. I think up at Cornell or Rutgers.
Right, and I know that daredevils often say that they don't fear things like most people do. So it's not like they're just overcoming this thing, and they just have to jump off right. of out of the plane. They really, it just doesn't affect them the same.
Right, which is, I can't even begin to conceive of that.
I have a little bit of that to me. I used to rappel and, yeah, stuff like that.
Wow, I like that.
But there was a little bit of fear involved, but I was one of those that was overcoming the fear as opposed
good
to...
for you.
Yeah.
You're a self-actualized person.
I was.
All right, well, Chuck, let's meet some of the idiots who've gone over Niagara Falls, shall we?
Yes, and at this point... as our attorneys would be so pleased, I will say that you should certainly never, ever, ever try to do this because it's very easy to die trying this as a stunt.
Conscientious and self-actualized.
Right. I think the fact that 16 people have gone over, 11 of which have survived in 100 years.
Two people went over and survived twice.
Correct.
Which,
but five people died, so.
Yeah, and horribly, too. We'll get to some of those guys, right?
Right.
So why don't we start at the beginning? The first person to go over Niagara Falls on purpose, as you said, was a woman, Annie Edson Taylor, in 1901, right?
Yeah, which is pretty funny to think about way back then. But, yeah, she did this actually on purpose as a stunt to try and make money.
Yeah, fame and fortune is pretty much the dominant reason people have for going over the falls, right?
Right, and she was 63 at the time.
A spinster, I imagine.
Yeah, she, well.
Didn't use Listerine.
Yeah. She claimed she was 43 and got away with that, so she must have been in pretty decent shape. But she packed a pickle barrel with a, made it airtight and packed it with pillows and stuffed herself in there and made it over, survived, and did not make a lot of money off of it.
She was smart enough to compress air to make it buoyant. And she also took her cat with her.
Yeah.
And they both lived.
Yeah, a guy took his turtle later on, too. Someone else.
Oh, we'll get to him.
Okay.
Sonny boy.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Hey, everybody. If you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long. But Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
But yeah, she went over, she and the cat made it. But yeah, the fortune and fame that she sought was elusive, she found. And
died
penniless, which is just sad.
Yeah, I don't like that term, though. No one dies penniless. I'm sure someone does, but did she really not have a penny? Come on.
I don't know. I mean, a penny in 1901, that's a lot, you know.
They should just say she died poor.
Okay.
That's just a personal beef.
Or broke.
Yeah, broke.
Busted.
Well, her barrel busted.
Okay, so who's up next?
Let's see. How about, well, the first man was 10 years later, Bobby Leach.
Yeah. He was kind of a stuntman, right?
Yeah. He was a circus guy. And, July 25th, 1911, he got into a steel barrel and, floated, you know, 18 minutes downstream and went over and survived. He broke both his jaw and both of his kneecaps.
Yeah, so. And spent 6 months in the hospital.
Yeah, not fun.
No, but the horrible ironic twist to Mr. Leach's life is that 15 years later, he slipped on an orange peel, broke his leg, it became infected, it was amputated, and 2 months later, he was dead of complications.
Right.
Ultimately from slipping on an orange peel.
Right. And if that had been a banana peel, it would be a Three Stooges episode.
It would have been just painful to read, right?
It was. So he lived but perished in an odd accident, which is interesting.
You know me, Chuck. I have some fairly grisly tastes, right?
So
I think the guy with the coolest death of the Niagara Falls tragedies was Charles Stevens, who went over in 1920.
I actually haven't heard this guy. So
oh, you haven't? I'll lay it on you. He went over in an oak barrel, right? And it wasn't modified or reinforced in any way, but he modified the interior. He had an anvil at the bottom to serve as ballast so it would stay upright.
Okay.
And he had his feet strapped to the anvil for some reason. He had arm straps inside the barrel.
Uh-huh.
So his arms were in there. He went over. Apparently, when he hit the bottom, the anvil broke through the bottom of the barrel and dragged him down with it. And all they ever found of Mr. Stevens was his arm still in the arm strap inside was left of the oak barrel.
Wow.
I kid you not.
Poor planning.
Yeah, it was his whole stunt was racked with poor planning. Other people who'd already gone over and who lived around the river and were kind of old sea dogs were begging the guy to test it out, give it a try, reinforce it, take all these extra precautions, and he just wouldn't do it. So
right. Yeah. As soon as you said he had an anvil in the bottom, I kind of foresaw that coming.
Yeah.
Josh, another one that I thought was really sad that perished was George Stathicus in 1930.
He is what Peter Tosh would call a mystic man.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was a chef in New York. He went over with his pet turtle, Sonny Boy, like we talked about.
Yes. A 100-year-old turtle named Sonny Boy.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
And this one's really sad because he actually went over, perhaps successfully, and was stuck behind the curtain of water. And
for 18 hours.
Yeah, 18 hours. No one could get to him. And they don't know for sure whether he survived the fall. But if he did, that means he spent, 3 to 8 hours is all the air he had. And he actually perhaps
suffocated. What I took from it was that they examined him and found that, he most likely had suffocated.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But the turtle made it.
Yeah.
Sonny Boy made it. And the whole reason Mr. Stathicus took Sonny Boy was so that if he died, Sonny Boy could tell the tale. And Sonny Boy never really said anything.
Talking turtle. I think that says it all.
Mystic man. So you want me to do another one?
Yeah, you're up.
Okay. I love this guy. Nathan Boya. He's the first African-American to go over. And he was also, he kind of bucked the trend of fame and fortune. The reason Mr. Boya went over was because it was something he just had to do. He felt he had to do.
Really?
That's what he said. Yeah. So he goes over in 1961, and this guy was pretty sharp. He took an oxygen tank with him, filled with 30 hours of air. I believe he had a rebreather, and he went over in I think it was a metal ball he dubbed the plungosphere.
Right. He did have a rebreather, which removes carbon dioxide.
Yeah, it's like scuba.
Exactly.
Yeah, so he went over in the falls. He went over the falls. He was successful. I think he got a little banged up, but not too much. And he was also the first person to be fined for breaking a law that was enacted a couple of years earlier after another guy died. That made it illegal to go over Niagara Falls on purpose. So he paid $100, which in 2008 dollars I looked up was $710.45.
In today's dollars?
Yes, as a fine. But he was the first one to ever be fined for doing it because
I believe the fine today is $10,000
or more. Yeah,
or more.
Yeah,
and it's performing a stunt without a license. Is that what it is?
Yeah, and they've never given a license to anybody
to
do it, which it just seems like a bad idea.
Sure.
Because that's a lawsuit right there.
Do you want to skip ahead to the most recent and most amazing? Or did you have another one?
We can go backward. Do we have to do it chronologically?
No, we don't. I want to talk about the most recent in 2003.
Well, let's do it.
Because this guy went over without anything. And he's the only person known to go in on purpose without any kind of flotation, no barrel, no nothing.
Just the clothes on his back.
Clothes on his back. And there's been speculation over the years whether or not he was suicidal or wanted fame and fortune. He apparently said that he was, in fact, depressed for years. And his friends came out later and said, yeah, he'd talked about trying to commit suicide. And so when he went to Niagara, he literally stood on the other side of the rail and was contemplating it. And a woman behind him, who he did not know, sarcastically said, "So what are you going to do, jump?" In that voice.
No.
And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I think I will." And he did so. And he jumped in, and just a few moments later, plunged over Horseshoe Falls, and said that it felt like I was being swallowed by a living organism.
Cool.
I was flying straight down at a tremendous speed, and the force was so great, I thought it would rip my head off. Then it became dark, my ears popped, and I was trapped under 40 feet of water. It was beating the living heck out of me.
Did he say heck?
No, he didn't. And I couldn't even get to the surface. And I remember thinking, well, Niagara, I think you've beaten me. And he said then he was pushed forward and felt the sun on his face.
Crazy.
I know.
What's the guy's name?
Kirk Jones.
Cool.
So Kirk survived. He told a story to Outside Magazine, among others. And apparently he said it filled him with the will to live. So
I would imagine so.
Good for him.
Kind of like surviving a plane crash, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Except not quite.
Well, yeah.
Maybe the same, you know, part of the brain.
Yeah, I think so.
So, okay, can we go back one? Because there is one other
one of your favorites.
Mention. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, so can we go back and can I do one more?
Venture back in time?
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll go back to 1988, the heady days at the end of the Reagan era.
My junior year in high school.
When still, wow, really?
Yeah. I know, you're always marveled at my age.
I know.
I'm like 5 years older than you. Get over it.
Okay, all right, sorry. So it was the end of the Reagan era, but Nancy Reagan's influence was still very clearly imprinted upon the national psyche.
Sure, say no to drugs.
In particular, two guys named Peter DeBernardi and Jeffrey Petkovich, right? Mm-hmm. And they decided that they were going to go over the falls in a barrel, and they did. And I think a 10-foot-long metal barrel that was completely enclosed.
Right.
And the reason that they wanted to do this was because they wanted to make a statement against drugs. And if you look at their barrel, there's a picture of it in the article. It says, drugs kill, right?
Right.
So what they're saying, clearly is that it's smarter to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel than it is to do drugs.
Right.
The problem is that's just wholly untrue, which is why there's 200 million illicit drug users worldwide and only 16 people who've ever gone over Niagara Falls on purpose.
And we're certainly not endorsing anything, but going over the falls in a barrel is virtual suicide.
It is. That one kind of struck me.
That reminded me actually, there was the other guy that was trying to raise awareness for the homeless.
Yeah, what was that?
Yeah, he went over in a jet ski.
A jet ski?
And the plan was to leap off the jet ski, and he had a rocket parachute that was going to open, but there was some kind of malfunction, and he died.
I'd say the worst of all was Jesse Sharp in 1990.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't even have a parachute planned. He didn't wear a helmet, and he didn't wear a life preserver, and he went over in a kayak on purpose
because
he wanted a job in the stunt industry, so... I feel very badly for Jesse's family.
Yeah, he perished.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
Yeah. I think they found his kayak and that was it.
Right. So I think the lesson, the takeaway, Josh, is daredevil, legitimate business, going over the falls in a barrel, not a good idea.
No. And stay off drugs, kids. So, Chuck, audible.com time.
Yeah, our sponsor.
And then maybe a little listener mail. Can we look forward to that?
Very special listener mail that I'm looking forward to.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Change. Hey, everybody. If you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva Presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva Presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva Presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva Presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva Presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
And that means it's time for listener mail.
Not only listener mail, Josh. This is haiku theater.
Ooh.
You know,
can we get a special haiku theater sound effect here?
Well, we'll see. I bet it's in there by the time we listen to this.
Yeah, okay.
I have 7 haikus, and they're short because they're haikus.
Yeah.
And we get them from our listeners. Sometimes they're in the form of corrections. Sometimes they're just cool little haikus.
Okay.
This one was related to the airplane crash from Sarah Ann Lone, mm-hmm. which I liked. Mm-hmm. Hello, that's my seat. Sorry, can I squeeze by you? Wow, this is awkward.
Nice.
Which is, do you show him the front of your body or the rear of your body when you slide by?
Again, it comes back to Fight Club a lot.
That's right. Workplace boredom. I will file this under that one. Finger on keyboard. Carpal tunnel sets in slow. My cubicle life. This is from a board worker, Brianna J. O'Sullivan.
It's depressing, Brianna.
Maggie Savage of Dover, New Hampshire, sent us one about the hypoallergenic cats episode. Mm-hmm. Cats and dogs are swell. To darn their fur an odd sell. But hey, what the heck?
That's good.
Nice and light. Our friend Marianne, teaching English in Thailand, says this. Village in Thailand. Nothing but rice and noodles. I crave cheddar cheese.
Nice, yeah. I read that one, too. Have you checked out her blog? It's pretty good.
It is very good. Aaron Nguyen sent this, his podcast routine. Control-Alt-Delete, fresh cup of coffee in hand, together we start.
Great.
Made me feel good.
That's a very hopeful haiku.
This is my favorite. This is from a 16-year-old, Timothy Sinclair of Albany, California. Haikus can be strange and end unexpectedly. Refrigerator.
That is my favorite. We have a winner. Can we get what's the haiku writer's name? The last one.
That was Timothy Sinclair, and I think he deserves a T-shirt.
I agree, Timothy. Send us your address and T-shirt size to our email, please.
But that's not all.
Oh, keep them coming, Chuck.
I only have one more, and this was actually sent today by Eric Jones of Maryland. And Eric just hiked the entirety of the Appalachian Trail. And we actually conversed a bit today via email.
Yes.
Sent pictures. I'm a hiker myself, so we kind of rapped back and forth about his experience, and he seems like a very cool guy. So he wrote us a little haiku story about hiking the AT. Mm-hmm. So here it is. 2008, I took a long walk on the Appalachian Trail. Started in Georgia, 7 months later finished on Mount
Katahdin.
Katahdin, thank you. Came home, bought iPhone, found you guys, then downloaded every show since March. Played sequentially. In 2 weeks, I learned so much, and I'm still learning. Thank you for your time and for your excellent work. Mention me on air.
I like the haikus that end with question marks.
Yeah, me too.
Or refrigerator. That's pretty good.
That's the best one, Timothy.
Did you find out if Eric hiked naked, as I hear is a trend to do on the AT?
Judging from the photos he sent, he did not.
Okay.
But they were really gorgeous pictures. You should look.
Well, thank you.
I know you hate nature, so.
Thanks, too. It's not that I hate nature. I'm just kind of a slug.
Right.
So thank you to everybody who sent us haikus or any kind of mail. If you want to send us a haiku or a hi, guys, you can send that to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.